I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Remembering the happier times with Michael Jackson. Tuesday is the 10th anniversary of his untimely death. However, he was an incredible entertainer and really made a lot of people happy and made some incredible music before he passed away. And so I thought it would be fun if we remembered our favorite Michael Jackson songs. So I actually Googled it. Did you know you can? You can Google top Michael Jackson songs to see whether or not mine would be considered among the top 25. Man, there are a bunch of songs that I've almost forgotten. Good stuff from MJ, the other MJ. I think it's weird when people call him MJ, although I guess depending on your perspective, you may think of him as MJ and not the other guy as MJ. So what's your favorite Michael Jackson song? You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour, we've got a couple of walk-offs in Major League Baseball and quite a tear by the Cleveland Indians, powered by one Jason Kipnis. So we'll get to some of the drama on the diamond. But how about the drama in the clubhouse? We had talked about this on our Sunday night show into Monday morning. As it had been reported and talked about and analyzed, of course, from Chicago. You had manager Mickey Callaway, who, yes, is still the manager of the New York Mets, taking exception with something that was said by a reporter, maybe the tone of his voice, maybe there was a history there. He didn't like the line of questioning, whatever it is, he snapped. He snapped at Tim Healy of Newsday after they had gone through their post-game press conference in the wake of another blown lead by the New York Mets. There have been so many. The bullpen is terrible. And Mickey Callaway just got frustrated, probably is frustrated a good portion of the time. So he was frustrated and lost his cool and somehow got set off by the way this reporter said, see you tomorrow. And so he first told the reporter not to be a smartass. And then after he had walked away, he came back at the reporter calling him an MF-er. It just sounds weird for me to even say the abbreviation. It's just, I've never said that word in my life. I've said other words, especially when I'm having road rage, but not that one. Anyway, so he called him a not appropriate name. And he also just kind of went at him. And in him doing that, he then set the tone. And let's be honest, gave Jason Vargas an example. So then Jason Vargas stares down Tim Healy after Callaway tries to get Healy kicked out of the clubhouse, the visitors clubhouse at Wrigley Field. Then Vargas gets into it and challenges him to a duel, kind of like Victorian England. Whew, all of that drama over another blown lead. Again, frustration's boiling over. So for the New York Mets, they had to move on and get right back on the horse, so to speak, starting a series in Philadelphia against the Phillies. Could have looked a whole lot different for them. They blew that lead against the Cubs. Would have been a game closer to 500, have some momentum going into the series with the Phillies. Instead, they lose to the Phillies, give up a lot of runs. Callaway and Vargas both get fined by Major League Baseball for their outbursts. And Callaway has multiple meetings with the media in which he has to apologize. Now, I said to you on our show last night, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. When athletes lose their cool, when athletes say something inappropriate, I believe that, similar to Callaway, as their job, they need to be professional. Regardless of what a fan does. Now, if a fan makes contact with you, that's one thing. But if a fan's trolling you, if a fan's yelling at you, if a fan's coming after you on social media, you just have to let it roll off your back without being unprofessional. If you want to respond, great. But being unprofessional, losing your cool, just throwing self-control to the wind. I mean, it all comes with the territory. Being a pro means being a pro. And for however long Callaway is the manager of the Mets, not only is he a professional, but he also sets the tone for the rest of his clubhouse. And so I do appreciate the fact that he right away apologized. Now, he may have been ordered to by his bosses, but he did in fact apologize.
I understand that, I can't control the actions of others or the words of others, but I can always control my reaction to those things. So, you know, I think everybody deserves respect, regardless of job title or role.
That sounds a lot more like Callaway, the Callaway we know and love, where he's going to love all of his players. They're going to know they're in an atmosphere where they've never been loved this much before. They're going to be nurtured. They're going to be protected. I mean, this is not a guy that you see a lot of fire from. It's not a guy who very often loses his cool. But you can understand the position that he's in. Nonstop questions, criticism. Also, the wondering how long he's going to keep his job. And if you believe the reports, now, Brody Van Wagenen, who's the agent turned general manager of the Mets, is saying this is not true, but there are multiple reports, both locally in New York as well as on the national scene, that Van Wagenen is weighing in from his couch, kind of like an armchair manager, and is instructing Callaway during games about what to do with his pitching staff. Or maybe other moves as well. But the particular incident that was reported by the New York Post actually was earlier this month. Jacob DeGrom was pulled from a game. He had a hip cramp. And the reports are that it was Brody Van Wagenen who texted from his couch. Maybe his armchair, maybe his office chair. Either way, he wasn't on site. But he was telling Callaway to pull DeGrom from the game. By the way, that is against the rules. You're not allowed to direct your managers during games. So Van Wagenen is saying that's not true. But to circle back to Callaway, if he's not only feeling the pressure of another losing season and a bullpen that's a disaster. I mean, thanks, Brody. I don't know. There's certainly some of the moves that were made in the offseason I thought might work out better than they have. They haven't. It's a major Achilles heel. But if you've got that pressure plus the losing, the New York lens, the microscope that you're put under, it's white hot. It's relentless. There's really no break. And so I can understand that Callaway's frustrated. I can certainly understand that there would be a lot of emotion bubbling just between the just under the surface. But this is more like him to reach out to Tim Healy and to try to make things right.
I got some feedback that I wanted you guys to know that in my meeting with Tim, I apologize for my reaction. I shouldn't. I regret it. I regret the distraction it's caused to the team.
That's good. That sounds more like him, for sure. 855-212-4227. Tim is listening in Cleveland. Tim, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy.
Is this Tim Healy?
No. No, I actually covered Mickey when he was the pitching coach for the Lake County Captains.
Oh, really?
In 2010.
Wow.
And I became friends with Mickey. And I have to say that, you know, what happened the other day, that's not him. He is a great person. And I feel like the New York media, you know, I know it's very tough. And I think that I'm not going to make excuses for him, but I know that the pressure there has to be immense. And I think he probably, you know, just had enough. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that this will happen again with him. I don't know how much longer he'll be the manager, but I just think people really need to realize that he is not a bad guy. He's a really good guy. And I think that incident, I hope people don't remember him for that.
I don't think they will. Honestly, I'm not sure that it's much better, Tim, but I think people will remember the losing seasons. Will remember the struggles as a manager. And it doesn't mean that he can't be a good manager. In fact, I'd love to know, at the time that you were covering him, did you think he was managerial material? I just think it's been a really difficult situation he's put into. He can't control injuries. The bullpen is the one that was handed to him. He can only do so much. And right now they're kind of spinning their wheels.
Yeah, I mean, I think I got a short, quick story about him that I think will tell people the kind of person he is. When he was a pitching coach with the Indians, after 2013, he came to a captain's fan event, and it had been 4 years since he was a captain's pitching coach. But he came to that event, and he pointed fans out in the crowd that he remembered when he was the pitching coach, and he remembered them by name. So I think it's just, that's the kind of guy he is.
Hmm.
So hopefully, you know, people will you know, I'm not saying give him a break. And I'm a reporter, so I understand, you know, you have to do your job as a reporter.
Sure.
But I also know that if you ask a question two or three times, you might get the manager upset.
Yeah, I know, of course.
And, you know, I know the New York media is a totally different animal than East Lake, Ohio, where I cover, you know, a minor league team. But I just want people to understand that Mickey's a good guy.
Yeah, I think so most people get that, for sure. No, I appreciate that, Tim, especially your personal experience. I think most people do understand that. And honestly, if they were winning, this wouldn't be the situation, the scenario. When you're winning, then obviously the media responsibilities are not nearly as weighty and not nearly as frustrating. But the media also has a job to do, as you pointed out. We're both members of the media. And while some can be antagonistic and certainly some can be repetitive, I think if the Mets are winning, that role rolls off a manager's back, including Callaway's, because what he most cares about is the team and the winning, not so much the media. I mean, I think he's willing to accept that even in New York, but the constant losing and the frustration of really not having any other options, that's the part that gets to you.
That's absolutely true. And I just want you to know before I go, mm-hmm. I think your show is phenomenal. It is unbelievable. And I listen to it every night when I bring my wife to work. And my wife, who doesn't listen to sports talk, she thinks you're unbelievable, too.
Well, that's my favorite compliment, when non-sports fans enjoy the show.
So you just keep doing a good job, and you have a good night.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Good to call in. Good to talk to you. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good insight there is what I meant to say. Don't ask me why. The words just came blah, 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 tumbling out. 855-212-4227. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I should have known that we'd have a lot of Michael Jackson fans on our Facebook page. OMG. It's reserved for those special moments, you know, because I say that all the time. We've asked you to remember some happier times with Michael Jackson. Tuesday is the 10th anniversary of his death, but we're wanting to know your favorite MJ tunes, and you are blowing up our Facebook page yet again, which is good. And I actually don't even know all of these songs, and so this is kind of fun. I know that when I hear them now, there's a bit of nostalgia to them, right? Because we won't ever get any new ones. This is it. And he was a phenomenal entertainer and performer. And even going back to the days when it was the family, they had some awesome tunes as well. So on Facebook or on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and producer Chris will retweet some of those as well. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning in on a Twizzler Tuesday morning. What's your favorite Michael Jackson tune? Or it could be a Jackson 5 tune. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Putting on the cleats, pulling on the old broken-in glove, and heading out onto the diamond. Who is going to slow the roll of the Los Angeles Dodgers? Wow, they had just come off a weekend in which three different rookies had hit walk-off home runs to build a 13-game lead atop the NL West. And on they marched through their division opponents, taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks in the desert on Monday in a matchup of former teammates, Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke. Oh, wait, former teammates, but also pitchers.
Number three.
Here's a 1-1 pitch. And Zach swings it to the left. That ball will now be caught, and it is gone! Greinke has homered off Kershaw, his third of the season. The Diamondbacks have got the lead 4-3. The 2-2 to Peralta. Swing, and a base hit center field. That'll score Marte. On his way to third, Escobar. RBI single Peralta. The Diamondbacks lead it 5-4.
This was a game in which pitchers raked. Okay, at least one. Yeah, Clayton Kershaw can too, but this time it was Zach Greinke. In the bottom of the second, breaks a 3-3 tie with a home run off Clayton Kershaw. That has to feel good. Not only do you hit a home run, but you hit it off one of the best pitchers in the game, a former teammate. So that was the end of the fireworks for a while. The score remained 4-3 into the seventh inning when Max Muncy drew a bases-loaded walk. But the Arizona Diamondbacks had a little more something-something for the Dodgers. So after Clayton Kershaw was out of the game, he was responsible for four runs on seven hits through six innings. It was the Dodgers bullpen that had the hiccup. There are definitely teams around the country who can relate. So the Diamondbacks end up winning 8-5 and snapping the Dodgers' six-game win streak. Watch out. The division is in peril. The call is there with Greg Schulte on the Arizona Diamondbacks radio network. I was listening to some of the Dodgers broadcast, and as they were running through the schedule upcoming, there certainly are plenty of opportunities for the NL West to try to cut into this lead now because the schedule pits these teams against one another, or the opposite could happen. The Dodgers could expand that division lead even more. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The New York Yankees are on top of the American League East, and because of a recent swoon by the Tampa Bay Rays, they've been able to pad that lead a bit, so now up by five games. But really the headline with the Yankees, the return of some of their big guns in Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, but also the way that they have been hammering the ball, as in assaulting the record books.
Number two.
The 2-1. Swung on, driven to right, it is high, it is far, it is gone! It's a three-run home run to give the Yankees the lead. Hicks hits one to the sticks. A line drive home run to right. And the Yankees take a 3-2 lead. Swung on and hit in the air to left center and deep. It is high, it is far, it is gone! Oh, what a home run! Over the loading dock into the crowd. Giancarlo hits his first home run of the year. Giancarlo, no se puede parlo.
There was a lot of talk about how quickly Stanton would be able to get comfortable in the Yankees lineup and whether or not the moves the Yankees made to dispatch some of the younger players who had filled in so well with all of the regulars on the injured list, whether or not that would be a bad move. Well, Stanton did get booed in his first game back in the Yankees lineup, but he also had a four-hit game and now has his first home run of the season, along with Aaron Hicks, as you hear on the Yankees radio network, John Sterling. Those two dingers stretched New York's home run streak to a record-tying 27 games. And so going back to the days of A-Rod and the 2002 Texas Rangers, that's the last time we had a team homer in 27 consecutive games. And it's not just about the home run. It's about a wealth of offense. I mean, the Yankees have an embarrassment of riches up and down their lineup, and they're putting a lot of runs on the board for manager Aaron Boone.
Our guys do a good job, again, processing, making you work for it, and you know, eventually, you know, I feel like that pays dividends at some point with some mistakes, and we have guys that obviously can take advantage. So it was, I thought it was a really good job up and down the lineup of guys really making it difficult on them.
No doubt. It's intimidating if you're an opposing pitcher to have to face a lineup like this with the Yankees that now is getting guys back and healthy and will hammer the baseball. So the Yankees are now at 50 wins. 9 of their last 10, and as I say, they've built a bit of a healthy cushion atop the AL East. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. One of my favorite things to watch in baseball, because the season is so long, is the teams that streak. Not so much the teams that swoon, but you will get easily a dozen streaks of 7 games, 8 wins or more. And it's because of that, because of the length of the season, that teams can make up massive deficits, 9 games, 10 games even. That's happened recently to come back and win a division or make a playoff spot, to reach a playoff spot. Well, right now it's the turn of the Cleveland Indians. So the Minnesota Twins had a double-figure lead atop the AL Central. They appear to be running away with the division. They've kind of come back to earth a little bit, though they do have 50 wins. But the Indians have put the pedal to the metal, and Jason Kipnis is a big reason why. They have now won 4 in a row, and 9 of their last 11.
Number 1.
Kipnis with a drive to deep right. There she goes. Ball game. Jason Kipnis with a walk-off home run to right. The Indians have their 5th walk-off win.
Personally, for me, I got a good feeling going up at the plate right now. And I get mad at myself because there's times where I think 2-0, oh, let's get ahead of it, or let's try to pull. And I've had all this success with not thinking that. So I kicked myself, so I got back to it my last 2 at-bats. And right there, we're just trying to get guy on, but he threw the first pitch, the same pitch as the... Both of them were little sliders. This one was just a little bit more in, and I saw it well.
Jason Kipnis hearing the chants of the crowd. He homered leading off the 10th inning, and Cleveland walked off against the Royals 3-2. But here's the number, the number that Kipnis has been putting out there that is really impressive. Over his last 9 games, he's batting .471. So even as he talks about how he kicks himself for missing here or there, he's a big reason why the Indians are locked in right now. 4 home runs, 14 RBI in his past 9 games. And he says it was watching video that he noticed the positions of his hands and decided that he wanted to make a change. And so here are the Indians, a season high, 8 games over .500. And Kipnis is behind the big surge. And you heard him there post game on Sports Time Ohio. The call of his walk-off home run with Tom Hamilton on the Indians radio network. I think the fans who stuck around to watch the conclusion, you are amazing, because this game was delayed nearly 2.5 hours by rain. But you got the payoff in the end if you're an Indians fan who stayed for the happy ending. All right, you can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS. What is your favorite Michael Jackson tune or your favorite Jackson 5 tune? Remembering happier times with Michael Jackson, Tuesday being the 10th anniversary of his death.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
You discharge, winner, winner. Chicken and waffle dinner.
A swing and a drive. Away back. Gone.
That's nasty, stinky bone, baby.
His jaw-dropping heroics made us swoon this weekend.
It's time for Man Crush Monday on After Hours.
And the next pitch, this ball is driven deep into left center field. It is out of here. Albert Pujols has hit a home run, a no-doubter.
It is only fitting that Albert steps up here for his last at-bat at Busch Stadium with the bases loaded.
Listen to this. Albert tips his helmet. And his face savoring and taking in that moment.
Took a big deep breath, and you know he's emotionally has to feel this moment right now.
Just pretty amazing, you know. I mean, it'll show you why they are the best fans in baseball, and just pretty amazing. And just glad to be able to, you know, play here for 11 years and have the great memories. And, you know, like I say, this is, I was pretty close from dropping a couple of tears there, I think. Especially, you know, when I helped Yadi, and, you know, we had that little moment to ourselves right there, too.
That is the unmistakable voice of one Albert Pujols, and it was an incredible weekend for him and his first return and maybe his fond farewell with the Cardinals fans in St. Louis. He called them the best fans in the game, and they adored every minute that they had with the great Cardinal. It was really cool to see him hit a home run, go 4-for-11, and also exchange jerseys with Yadier Molina, his longtime friend and teammate, at home plate when the series was finally done on Sunday night. The Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. So let's take a closer look at the one you picked, the one who got it done. And this week it is Fat Albert. At 39 years old, he won multiple MVPs. Not only did he win individual awards, but he also was really largely responsible for getting the Cardinals to several World Series and then winning two of them. And yeah, he extended his career by choosing the Angels and the American League and a really big contract. And we've had to wait through some injuries with him. But to see the way that he continues to chug away and the smile on his face, an awesome ambassador for the game, a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt. It was really neat to see that reconnection with the fans at Busch Stadium. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. As always, we appreciate you voting in our Man Crush Monday polls. So you can find all of our polls originating from our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Right now, it's not a poll, but it's a Twizzler Tuesday question, because Tuesday is the 10th anniversary of Michael Jackson's death, and the time flies. And his music makes me remember happier times before he got so far off the beaten path and struggled with his demons. But his music was amazing, and he was an incredible entertainer. And I feel like when he died, there was a whole other generation of Americans who fell in love with his music. And so a lot of you are weighing in with your favorite Michael Jackson song or your favorite Jackson 5 tune. And honestly, I don't even know them all, but I do have one that I'm saving. So before we get to the top of the hour, I'll make sure I share it with you. First, let's talk to Anthony, who's in Jacksonville. Welcome to After Hours. Anthony.
Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, I was just calling in to say about Michael Jackson's Thriller, and I was never a huge Michael Jackson fan, but that video was like the first music video I ever saw.
Yeah.
And I was like 7 years old, scared the hell out of me, actually. But it was, you know, it kind of kicked off. I always kind of followed him, and I would say Black and White would be my second one, but Thriller and that video would definitely kind of change the game, but...
It did. I mean, it was iconic, the video itself. And you're right, it was a little bit scary. But if you think back on it now, the way that it really pushed the envelope, but also how ingenious it was, I mean, it was groundbreaking. But I agree with you. At the time that I first saw it, I thought, what in the world? This is awful.
Well, 7 years old, I stayed up late till like 9 o'clock to watch it. So it was a big deal. But first scary thing I ever saw. So Thanks for taking my call. Enjoy your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate that. Call in Jacksonville, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So it's kind of interesting to look at your responses when you are when you're weighing in on Facebook. Some of you cannot use words. You can only use GIFs, okay? But some of you also use acronyms, and so I have to try to interpret them. I feel like I'm doing okay right now. Let's see. Anthony says on Facebook, ABC. So that would be the reference to the Jackson 5 song, which is so popular, right? Unless I'm missing something. Okay, you guys are kind of nodding at me. Wait, are you guys Michael Jackson fans or no? I know you're not quite the same age, but you're also not the same age as me.
I'm actually older than you. I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I do now.
yeah, I'm a big fan of Michael Jackson's music, definitely. It's hard to pick just one song.
It is hard to pick just one.
In terms of like the music videos, I did like Remember the Time,
yes.
Which fittingly has Magic Johnson in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's one of my favorite songs, I'd say.
Wow. Well, you didn't steal my thunder, but I'm surprised that we are in agreement of that. My top two favorite Michael Jackson songs are Black or White, but also Remember the Time. And I feel like Remember the Time maybe isn't quite as popular or isn't well known, but I love that song. I could listen to it over and over and over again. So those are two of my favorites. What about your kids? Are they Michael Jackson fans?
They just know like the ones that have been remastered and mm-hmm. redone. My wife is a big fan of his music, though.
And so your wife is Mexican, which is that's fun.
She is, yeah. She grew up listening to his music, though. She's a couple years older than me, so she, I guess, had more time to appreciate his music than me, I guess. But I don't know that my kids know too many of their songs. I try to play music from years and years ago, but, you know.
It's now oldies, you know. When it's 80s and 90s, it's now considered throwback.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel old. Every once in a while, I say and do things that I remind myself of my parents. It's kind of scary. So I got that going for me.
Yeah, no, you do. You definitely have that going for you. You're vintage, Chris. Dave, sorry. Chris, I was looking at Chris because I was going to ask him next. So do you have a favorite MJ song?
Of course. He's an icon. The Way You Make Me Feel is my favorite Michael Jackson song.
It's a
classic. That's a great song for weddings and parties and all that kind of stuff. But he has a ton of those. So.
I'm seeing a bunch of Dirty Diana on social media, which I haven't heard in such a long time. I'm going to go through some of these here. Man in the Mirror, that's the choice of Glenn on our Facebook song. The Earth Song, is that the one that... No, see, I don't want to say anything because now I'm worried I'm going to get there. Is that the one that had all the guest people singing on it?
Is that from Live Aid? Is that the song?
I don't know. Maybe I'm remembering something different. I'm not sure. So Fonzie says the Earth Song, and I also got a couple of tweets that reference the Earth Song as well.
We Are the World, I believe, is the song. Yeah.
So unless we're remembering it wrong, We Are the World, that title, obviously, I would have remembered. But yeah, Tammy says the Earth Song by MJ is my favorite, all around great song. Take a listen. Willie says on Twitter, Off the Wall and the Thriller video. Seriously, it was scary. James on Twitter, Billie Jean. Yes, Billie Jean. Ethan on Twitter says Jackson 5 and the Love You Save. Jordan on Facebook, I'll Be There with the Jackson 5. That's a good one too. Lester says, Do What You Wanna with the Jacksons. That one I actually don't know. Dan says, Jackson 5, Going Places. Some of these are, now I'm dying to hear them. I feel like there will be a lot of Michael Jackson music played on Tuesday, though. It does seem a little bit morbid, right? So I hope you're not offended by the fact that we're talking about Michael Jackson music on the anniversary of his death. But I want to remember happier times. There's nothing that we can do to bring him back or change the end of his life. But he did have a lot of incredible music. I feel the same way about Whitney Houston. She is one of my all-time favorites. I still listen to a lot of her music on my iPod. And when my iPod cycles through to her version of the national anthem from the Super Bowl, I could listen to that, her version, a dozen times easily in a row and just be so captivated by it. And yes, it makes me really sad that she has gone too soon and the choices she made that led to the end of her life. Same thing with Michael Jackson. But their music, they were gifted entertainers, and so that's what we're focusing on. So I hope you're not offended by it. If you are, well, I apologize that you're not seeing it the same way that I am. Terry says Billie Jean or Thriller. You can't sit still when you hear them. we're going to have to pull up Dirty Diana and play it next hour because now I just want to hear it again. James says Bad. It's funny. If you didn't know the topic and you just saw that response, there could be all kinds of things that would come to your mind. Dave said, oh my gosh, I'm having such trouble talking on this show. Dave on Facebook writes in with Smooth Criminal. Steven says the same thing. Ed says, I still have my Off the Wall and Thriller albums. Wait, by album, do you actually mean album or do you mean CD? Shannon says, the Jackson 5's I Want You Back. These are all so great. I'm going to have to, seriously, this is what I'm going to be doing on Tuesday. Jason agrees with us. Do you remember the time? All right, so that one we're going to play next hour because that's our favorite too. So on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Oh, just so you know, I wanted to pass along the details that I found out about the whole Cam Newton on the airplane story because I didn't really understand it either. What I had heard was that he had offered someone $1,500 to change seats on a flight to Paris. It actually was the opposite. So details, the internet, you can't believe everything you read. He was returning home from Men's Fashion Week in Paris, and he had an earlier flight that he missed. So he had business class on a flight from Paris to Charlotte, and he missed the flight. Lesson learned, right? I don't know how much that ticket cost. I don't know why he missed the flight, but this is what happens when you miss your flight that happens to put you in business class. You don't get to complain about what you get stuck with on your next option. So apparently the only way for him to get home on that same day was to take a flight in which he had to sit in economy with a bulkhead seat. So there were probably not a whole lot of seats left, and he had to take the seat. And so that's when he offered another man who was in the same section. He wasn't in first class. Another man who had better legroom, more legroom, offered him the $1,500 to switch. And the guy said, no way. Anyway, so yeah, I guess if you miss your flight, you have no room to complain. Maybe that's why he was only offering $1,500. Only offering $1,500. Come on. I would have said, give me that money, and you could have my seat. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.